was trying to sidestep the question politely. It's really not something I should be discussing. He paused. Although I must say I'm puzzled that your brother would keep our discussions from you, considering that they relate so directly to your research. My research? Catherine said, taken totally off guard. My brother talks about my research? Recently, your brother came to me looking for a professional opinion about the psychological impact of the breakthroughs you are making in your lab. Catherine almost choked on the tea. Really? I'm surprised, she managed. What is Peter thinking? He told his shrink about my work? Their security protocol involved not discussing with anyone what Catherine was working on. Moreover, the confidentiality had been her brother's idea. Certainly you are aware, Miss Solomon, that your brother is deeply concerned about what will happen when your research goes public. He sees the potential for a significant philosophical shift in the world, and he came here to discuss the possible ramifications from a psychological perspective. I see, Catherine said, her teacup now shaking slightly. The questions we discuss are challenging ones. What happens to the human condition if the great mysteries of life are finally revealed? What happens when those beliefs that we accept on faith are suddenly categorically proven as fact, or disproved as myth? One could argue that there exist certain questions that are best left unanswered. Catherine could not believe what she was hearing, and yet she kept her emotions in check. I hope you don't mind, Dr. Abaddon, but I'd prefer not to discuss the details of my work. I have no immediate plans to make anything public. For the time being, my discoveries will remain safely locked in my lab. Interesting. Abaddon leaned back in his chair, lost in thought for a moment. In any event, I asked your brother to come back today because yesterday he suffered a bit of a break. When that happens, I like to have clients break? Catherine's heart was pounding. As in break down? She couldn't imagine her brother breaking down over anything. Abaddon reached out kindly. Please, I can see I've upset you. I'm sorry. Considering these awkward circumstances, I can understand how you might feel entitled to answers. Whether I'm entitled or not, Catherine said, my brother is all I have left of my family. Nobody knows him better than I do. So if you tell me what the hell happened, maybe I can help you. We all want the same thing. What's best for Peter? Dr. Abaddon fell silent for several long moments and then began slowly nodding, as if Catherine might have a point. Finally, he spoke. For the record, Ms. Solomon, if I decide to share this information with you, I would do so only because I think your insights might help me assist your brother.
Of course.
Abaddon leaned forward, putting his elbows on his knees.
Miss Solomon, as long as I've been seeing your brother, I've sensed in him a deep struggle with feelings of guilt. I've never pressed him on it, because that's not why he comes to me. And yet yesterday, for a number of reasons, I finally asked him about it.
Abaddon locked eyes with her.
Your brother opened up rather dramatically and unexpectedly. He told me things I had not expected to hear, including everything that happened the night your mother died.
Christmas Eve. Almost exactly 10 years ago. She died in my arms.
He told me your mother was murdered during a robbery attempt at your home. A man broke in looking for something he believed your brother was hiding.
That's correct.
Abaddon's eyes were appraising her.
Your brother said he shot the man dead.
Yes.
Abaddon stroked his chin.
Do you recall what the intruder was looking for when he broke into your home?
Catherine had tried in vain for 10 years to block out the memory.
Yes, his demand was very specific. Unfortunately, none of us knew what he was talking about. His demand never made sense to any of us.
Well, it made sense to your brother.
What?
Catherine sat up.
At least according to the story he told me yesterday, Peter knew exactly what the intruder was looking for, and yet your brother did not want to hand it over, so he pretended not to understand.
That's absurd. Peter couldn't possibly have known what the man wanted. His demands made no sense.
Interesting.
Dr. Abaddon paused and took a few notes.
As I mentioned, however, Peter told me he did know. Your brother believes if he had only cooperated with the intruder, maybe your mother would be alive today. This decision is the source of all his guilt.
Catherine shook her head.
That's crazy.
Abaddon slumped, looking troubled.
Miss Solomon, this has been useful feedback. As I feared, your brother seems to have had a little break with reality. I must admit I was afraid this might be the case. That's why I asked him to come back today. These delusional episodes are not uncommon when they relate to traumatic memories.
Catherine shook her head again.
Peter is far from delusional, Dr. Abaddon.
I would agree, except...
Except what?
Except that his recounting of the attack was just the beginning, a tiny fraction of the long and far-fetched tale he told me.
Catherine leaned forward in her seat.
What did Peter tell you?
Abaddon gave a sad smile.
Miss Solomon, let me ask you this. Has your brother ever discussed with you what he believes is hidden here in Washington, D.C., or the role he believes he plays in protecting a great treasure of lost ancient wisdom?
Catherine's jaw fell open.
What in the world are you talking about?
Dr. Abaddon heaved a long sigh.
What I'm about to tell you will be a bit shocking, Catherine.
He paused and locked eyes with her.
But it will be immeasurably helpful if you can tell me anything you may know about it.
He reached for her cup.
More tea?
Chapter 23. Another tattoo. Langdon crouched anxiously beside Peter's open palm and examined the 7 tiny symbols that had been hidden beneath the lifeless, clenched fingers.
They appear to be numbers, Langdon said, surprised, although I don't recognize them.
The first is a Roman numeral,
Anderson said. Actually, I don't think so, Langdon corrected. The Roman numeral IIIX doesn't exist. It would be written VII.
How about the rest of it?
Sato asked. I'm not sure. It looks like 885 in Arabic numbers.
Arabic?
Anderson asked.
They look like normal numbers.
Our normal numbers are Arabic. Langdon had become so accustomed to clarifying this point for his students that he'd actually prepared a lecture about the scientific advances made by early Middle Eastern cultures, one of them being our modern numbering system, whose advantages over Roman numerals included positional notation and the invention of the number 0. Of course, Langdon always ended this lecture with a reminder that Arab culture had also given mankind the word alkul, the favorite beverage of Harvard freshmen, known as alcohol. Langdon scrutinized the tattoo, feeling puzzled. And I'm not even sure about the 885. The rectilinear writing looks unusual. Those may not be numbers.
Then what are they?
Sato asked. I'm not sure. The whole tattoo looks almost runic.
Meaning?
Sato asked. Runic alphabets are composed solely of straight lines. Their letters are called runes, and were